for a few moments as you're turning. Again, I want to ask you to be back tonight at 6 for our night of worship. I'm excited about what God's presence is going to be doing during that time. It's a time of freedom. It's a time of just pouring our hearts out to Him, enjoying the musical worship, and then just praying and worshiping Him. We'll have communion available and some different things. So yeah, it'll be a sweet time tonight. So come back at 6, if you would, please. Let's worship Him together. John chapter 14, verse 1. I want to speak today about a message that God's been speaking to me just out of my own quiet time with the Lord. I'm reading through the book of John. I'm in a couple of accountability groups. We're reading through John together. And I was reading through John 14, and today's passage, God just really began to speak to me about, and I think it is important because today I want to address an issue that I see pretty widespread in the church, the issue of fear and anxiety and basically a lack of peace and rest. And I don't know about you, but in the world around me, that's most definitely true. See, a lack of rest, a lack of peace. We see a lot of chasing, a lot of pursuing, a lot of chaos, a lot of hurt, a lot of need. And unfortunately, in the body of Christ, we're not always seeing the drastic difference that a follower of Christ should look like than someone who doesn't have the peace of Christ ruling in their life. And unfortunately, in the church, and I'm speaking of me, so there are times that we are just as anxious, just as chaotic, and there's just as much lack of peace in our lives as there is in the world around us. And that goes directly against the teachings of Jesus. So what I would like to do is I'd like to ask 11 men if they'd come forward. I know we kind of did this a couple of weeks ago, but you don't really have any speaking parts. I just need you to come down and be disciples just for a moment. So 11 men, just, it's okay. I'm not going to ask you to do anything silly. All right, you guys do the math. Where are we at? Okay. So 11 men, you can just have a seat just kind of right here on the stage. That'd be good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Cliff, we need you. All right. So basically in this passage, Jesus is sitting with 11 of his disciples. Judas, of course, the betrayer. Jesus has already said, go and do what you're going to do. So Judas is left. And so here's the 11. And so, Jason, I know, but for the sake of everybody else, what do you do for a living? Jason's a physical therapist. Clint, what do you do?
Insurance agent.
Law.
Car salesman.
Lance. Currently unemployed high school student.
Civil engineer.
Also currently unemployed. No, civil engineer. Larry.
Nothing. I'm retired.
Retired. But what have you done all your life?
Surgical assistant and physical therapist.
All right. Danny.
Sales guy.
Sales guy. Richie. Nothing. I don't believe it. Brady.
Public adjuster.
Public adjuster. Jeff. Nothing also? No, he's pastor. Cliff?
Refrigeration man.
Okay, refrigeration man. These men collectively have put many years and hours into careers and lifestyles that they live. And the 11 disciples sitting in that room with Jesus had also done the same thing. They were grown men with careers and jobs and families and plans and dreams. And they encountered Jesus. And they encountered him in such a passionate and drastic way that they each left each of their careers and lifestyles and ways of life and chose to follow Jesus. Now, that wasn't some religious, mystical, theological thought at that time. That meant they actually left all those things and Jesus walked down that road and they followed him and they became his disciples and they completely sold out to him. And everywhere he went, they went. And what he said, they listened and they walked with him. They slept with their heads on rocks as pillows with him. They watched the miracles. They were persecuted with Jesus. These 11 men had left everything, forsaken all, to be a sold out, hardcore, life-changing disciple of Jesus Christ. Thanks, guys. You served your purpose. You can hang out the stage, either way. So you have these 11 men completely sold out, have forsaken all to follow Jesus. They've walked with him these 3 years. They've seen amazing things. They've heard unbelievable things. And so Jesus gathers them in this room, and in the passage right before our passage today, he starts telling them, I'm going to leave you. It's time for me to leave, and where I'm going, you can't come here. You're not going to be able to follow me anymore from this point on. Of course, he's preparing them for his death, and then his resurrection, and then his ascension back into the kingdom of heaven and the release of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But what if you didn't know the end of the story? And what if you, for 3 years, had given up everything? You lost all your contacts, all your ties, because for 3 years, day in and day out, you've been waking up following Jesus down the road to Nazareth and Jerusalem and Bethlehem and across the sea and with all these people. And you've missed out on 3 years of your life, and you've never been happier and never been more scared in your life. And you've committed your life to following this man. You've given everything up. And he says, you can't follow me anymore, because I'm going to a place where you can't go. What fear and dread strikes a man's heart, a provider, a husband, a leader, strikes his heart when he has sold out to something completely, and now it looks like that's disappearing before their eyes. And Jesus says these words, which is our focus passage in John 14, 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. These men, hearing the words of Jesus saying, where I'm going, you can't go. And Jesus says to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Also, in verse 27 of that same chapter, Jesus says again, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I want to focus on these words, do not let your hearts be troubled, for a few moments. And then we're going to kind of draw it back into our lives. So the word heart, is translated from the Greek word cardia, where we get cardio. And it means our mind, our thoughts, and our feelings. Basically, the core of who we are. The middle is the literal meaning of the word cardia. The middle, the core. And it's defined as our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions. So when Jesus says to his disciples, I know you don't understand what's going on right now, but do not let your mind and your heart and your emotions, don't let them be troubled. And the word troubled, it just simply means agitated or upset or stirred up or distressed. Saying, do not let your heart be stirred up and agitated and distressed. Instead, trust in God. Trust also in me. So what makes your heart troubled? I mean, because the reason God brought us here today with this message, I believe, is because there's a purpose, and that we are a troubled people and we need the peace of Christ. So what troubles us? There are all kinds of things that distress and stir up our hearts, our minds, our emotions, that bring us into fear, that bring us into distress. My family and I traveled this week, and I went into a bathroom at a convenience on the store, and there was this message written on the wall about how ISIS is coming, the, you know, Islam extremists. They're coming to America. And I was having breakfast with a gentleman last week, and just out of the blue, he said, "I want to ask you a question. If ISIS showed up today, would you take up arms for your family?" I was like, "Ooh." So things that trouble us. I was at another place 2 weeks ago, and I was just kind of overhearing two guys that were a little bit of day. I was eavesdropping, I'm just going to be honest. And they were two investment, some kind of financial investment guys, and they were talking at a real low key, and you could tell the interest was real high. And I could just hear them talking about, "Hey, when this collapses, what are you going to do? What are you going to sell? What are you going to buy?" And I could hear bits and pieces of them talking about a big economic collapse coming and how they're going to be able to survive. Does that trouble you? Trouble your heart? On the way back from Colorado, my family got to go on vacation this last week and got a text from a lady, you know, says, "Call me, please!" Exclamation point. Finished the meal that we were having. Got in the car. Called her, and some people that we love, part of our community, you know, just, "Hey, we're finished. We both want a divorce. This has happened. This has happened. I don't know who else to call. This thing's over. We're finished." It's troubling, you know. And you know, got home yesterday, didn't have any groceries, so of course went to the donut store for breakfast, because that's what we do, you know. You know, Miss Linda Ballantyne, realized she has a real rare cancer, ovarian cancer with tendencies of lung cancer, and, you know, just talking with her daughter and that whole situation. There's just so much in the world around us that is troubling. Does anybody else get any of that? Are you walking in that too? Anybody just want to tell what troubles you? I mean, can we just be honest for a few moments? Anything out there that says, "This troubles me"? Yes. Okay. Just disciplining your own children and how that's taken by the world around you, and where does that lead you, and what does that go? Anybody else? Just say what troubles you. Anyone? Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." There are always going to be circumstances in our lives and in the world around us that will trouble us. Okay? Has anybody figured out how to live your life in a way that there are no troubling circumstances surrounding your life? Yeah. That would be nice. In fact, Jesus himself said, "In this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart because I've overcome the world." So we're each of us, we're going to be dealing with these struggles. We're going to have circumstances that are vying for our attention to bring us into fear, to bring us into stress, into anxiety. And when I was reading this passage, maybe I just had never read it this way before. Maybe the Holy Spirit was wanting to take me to a different place. But I read it, and all of a sudden I saw the option that Jesus was presenting here. And he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled." And what he began speaking to me, and what I want to share with you today, is that each of us, we have a choice on living a lifestyle of troubled, agitated, distressed, stirred up lifestyle, or the peace of Christ. We each have a choice. We don't have a choice about the circumstances. We don't have a choice about the economy. We don't really have a choice about whether ISIS is going to be on North American soil. We don't have any of those choices. But what we do have is the choice presented by Jesus. Do not let your heart be troubled. You see, you have authority over your own heart and mind in Christ. So, asking the question, if these circumstances are there, how? How do we not be troubled and upset and fearful and agitated when situations feel like they're collapsing on us? Jesus answers the question, do not let your hearts be troubled. How? Trust in God. Trust also in me. The word trust is the same word that is translated all throughout the New Testament as faith. It's the word pistuo. And it means to have faith in or upon, to entrust oneself to believe, to commit oneself, or to put your trust in. So Jesus is saying, I know that you've been following me, and at this point it feels very chaotic, it feels very distressful, but he's saying, do not let your heart be troubled. Instead, trust in God and trust in me. Put your faith in God, commit yourself to Him, entrust yourself to Him, and entrust yourself to Jesus as well. Basically, if you are a person that lives a cyclical lifestyle of being distressed and anxious and fearful, then I want to call us all on the carpet today and say that there is an issue with faith and trust. Because fear is always the opposite of faith. You understand that? Biblically, fear is always the direct opposite of faith. To fear in a circumstance says, I put that circumstance higher than I put God. And I know we don't like to put it that way, but if you're stressed out about your finances, what you're doing is you're elevating your need for money above God's ability to provide for you. If you're fearful about your children doing this or doing that, you are elevating your children above God's ability to sustain them and protect them. We don't like to look at it that way, but that's exactly what's taking place in our own hearts and minds. And so Jesus is saying, instead of letting your heart be troubled, I want you to place your trust and trust yourself, commit yourself to God and to me. Is God trustworthy? Absolutely. And I'm thankful for those that spoke out and said yes. There's a drastic difference in the intellectual knowledge that forces our mouth to say yes, that God is trustworthy, and the difference of living our lives actually trusting Him. It's very different. Trusting God. Can I take you to a passage in Psalm 89 that has just been foundational for me? Just renewing our minds to Scripture and the trustworthiness of God. Psalm 89, let's read verse 14 through 18, but I want to come back to 14. It's kind of the focus of the passage. Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn, our strength. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. But back to 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Why is God trustworthy? If Jesus is giving you the option today of letting your heart be troubled by your circumstances or trust in God, what makes God worth trusting? Because righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Everything God does is right. And everything God does is just. That's something we cannot do as human beings. That's why Jesus is the just judge and we're not. And that's why Jesus has clearly told us not to judge others. Because we can't do it with a foundation of being right and just. But God is every time. Every time he moves, every time he works, every time he speaks, he is both perfectly right and perfectly just. That's amazing. And on to, as if that weren't enough, and on top of that it says, and love and faithfulness come out of you. The literal translation is, and love and faithfulness is before your face. It's the light of your countenance. So God, he has this foundation that he never is removed from, and it's righteousness and justice, and then out of him flows love and faithfulness. In your situation that you're tempted to be troubled, agitated, stirred up, and distressed about, instead, choose to trust God, the righteous and just one who is loving and faithful. And Jesus said, trust in God, trust also in me. Why trust Jesus? Oh man, we could go on all day about why Jesus is trustworthy, but I just want to bring two things to your attention. Number one is, he has defeated Satan. Why is he trustworthy? Why can Jesus say, trust in God, trust also in me? He has defeated Satan. John 19 on the cross, he said, it is finished. Colossians 2:15. And having disarmed all the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. 1 John 3:8, for the Son of God has appeared to destroy the devil's work. And why can we today choose to trust Jesus instead of letting our hearts be troubled? Because he's defeated Satan, and number two, he gives peace. He gives peace. You know, just the next couple of verses down in John 14:27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He is a peace giver. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. All right, did you get that? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then in Luke 17:21, Jesus said this, and the kingdom of God is in you. Is in you. There is an unshakable kingdom of peace in every follower of Jesus Christ today. So why trust God? Because he's faithful and just. And why trust Jesus? Because he has defeated Satan and he gives peace. So today, when we read these words of Jesus to each one of us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. We have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. Your choice is fear or faith. Trust or trouble. To rest or to react. God's promises or the world's circumstances. So, I'm guilty myself. And I see it in our church and in other churches. And, you know, Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And I believe it is absolutely time for the church of Jesus Christ to become people of peace and rest, even in troubling situations. Do not let your heart be troubled. How many of you are letting your heart be troubled? How many of you are choosing the peace and the rest of Jesus Christ? Man, how many times a day does this option come? I mean, tomorrow when you're driving to work, just that simple commute, how many times will you be able to choose being troubled or trusting in God, the peace of Christ? In your marriages, how many times this week are you going to be able to choose between being troubled and trusting in God? You know, so I'm just going to basically offer us a moment to respond to the Lord on this message from His Scripture. I'm going to ask Randy just to come and to play, and I'm going to ask you a couple of things. Jesus, we thank You for these words. They're true and they're right. Thank You for the challenge to us to get out of the cycle of being anxious and troubled all the time, to enjoy Your rest and Your peace. Father, I just ask that You would take these words of Your Son, Jesus, and that You would penetrate our hearts today, and that by Your Holy Spirit, You would bring us to a point of action, of application. Bring us to a point of surrender to You and Your truth this morning. In Jesus' name.